Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
We are here after day one of the NHL draft in Montreal. It's nice to be here. It's nice to have this draft back in person. It was awesome because the whole crowd was very, very loud the whole time, especially when you get Marty St. Louis and you get some other people in the Montreal Canadiens organization going out because the Canadiens picked first overall. And you're looking up there and you could point out every section had at least one Shane Wright jersey. And Shane Wright was not drafted by the Montreal Canadiens. Juraj Slafkovský. What were your thoughts when you saw that?
You know what? I mean, there's been so much speculation about who Montreal would take first overall, and Slafkovský was the other answer. So it wasn't shocking in one sense, but when you actually hear it happen, and this was kind of like going back to the Nico Hischier, Nolan Patrick draft, where until it actually happens, you're still saying to yourself, like, they're probably going to take Shane Wright. But then you hear it, and it's like, wow, they actually did it. And it's very interesting because obviously the Habs ended up trading for Kirby Doc. So clearly they thought to themselves, okay, well, we like Slafkovský more. He's a winger, but we can fill our need at center another way. Mm-hmm. Having said that, you know, I mean, we don't know what these kids are going to be like in 2-3 years. That's the fun of development. But for Seattle to basically luck into Shane Wright, I mean, what a great turn of events for the Kraken.
Yeah, and Shane Wright is a guy that was projected first of all season long. Last year, the year before that, this is a guy that it was almost strange if he was not number one. And there were some lists out there that said, oh, maybe he's not number one. And there was all these rumors saying, okay, maybe they're going to go Slafkovský. And it's like, wow, that's quite something. But then he ends up going first overall. And this is a guy that, like, it's really surprising, but we're still talking about a guy who was the Olympic MVP. Granted, not the greatest competition, but still Olympic MVP before he even turned 18. We talked about that on the podcast. And did a lot of stuff internationally. Didn't have great numbers in the pro league in Finland, but he was still playing against men. And he continues to get better. He's got a good frame. There's so much to like about him. He's still a very worthy top prospect, but maybe not the guy we expected.
Very much so. And, you know, speaking of his first year playing pro against men in Finland, it was his first year.
Yeah.
So you look and say, okay, well, not a bad effort, but what's he going to be like next year? And I think what's really interesting now is you've got the number one overall mantle on you. Does he go straight to the NHL? You know, do the Habs see him as a player that, even though he's still a bit raw, he obviously has NHL size. You know, he's got great snarl to his game already from playing against men. We've seen that, you know, in the Finnish league. So what happens? What is the best route to his development? I mean, we saw Owen Power take an extra year as a number one overall pick. Personally, I'm fascinated to see what happens next. And, you know, Simone Nemec, who went second overall to New Jersey, another big kind of shocker, he's already said he wants to come to North America. He thinks the AHL is probably the best for him, but he'd obviously like to play NHL games as well. So that's another one where, okay, second overall, what are the expectations? Fascinating all around, I would say.
And you wrote an article for the website, thehockeynews.com, talking about kind of how chaotic it was. And the one thing that was kind of interesting, and maybe only I found it interesting, but usually you'll see a lot of the prospects where teams might have a couple players they have in mind. We'll have names and stuff in the jerseys, and sometimes they'll even zoom in on the table, and you could see they had three jerseys all lined up ready to go. But in a lot of the cases for the guys picked in the top 10, they didn't have names on there. So it almost suggests that other than maybe Marco Kasper to Detroit at number 8, it was just kind of a free-for-all.
Well, you know, it's funny because after the round was done, I ran into an NHL exec, and I asked that question. I was like, was it just us on the outside that thought this was chaos? And he's like, no, this was a very different draft. So even from those on the inside looking, you know, like looking at this class, it could be because of, you know, pandemic interruptions in the past, where last year teams obviously weren't necessarily as confident in the players they were, the pool of players they were looking at, because they didn't have the same sample size as usual. With these guys, maybe they've seen them a bit more, and you know, maybe that's why we didn't have a lot of sort of chalk in the picks. I think what we saw a lot of was teams looking at their draft board and saying, that's our guy. We're not going to mess around and try to trade down or you know, whatever. We're just going to take it. So, you know, I had heard New Jersey wanted a defenseman. Would they trade down and still get their guy? No, they just went for Nemec. That's who they wanted. I wonder if the same was true with Chicago taking Kevin Korchinski seventh, where
he didn't have a name in the back of his jersey.
Yeah. Juracek and Nemec were the top defensemen in the class. And then you had a tier of guys like Korchinski, Matejchuk, Minchikov, and clearly Chicago favored Korchinski. So instead of trading down and you know, taking their chance, they said, that's who we want. Let's just do it. So I wonder if there was just a lot of decisiveness based on the dominoes that fell.
One of the big storylines heading into today was the Russian factor. Were we going to see any Russian players drafted? And there were a couple, but there was one to Washington that I think was a bit more interesting.
Yeah, Ivan Marashnichenko. And, you know, this is a player where not only was he playing back in Russia this year, but obviously had that very scary diagnosis of Hodgkin's lymphoma, which he is recovering from. He did tell us through a translator afterwards that, you know, he's already been skating about 10 times, so he's back on the ice, which is great news. He also said that he will be returning to play for Omsk next year in Russia. So that's another question that was obviously on a lot of people's minds is, you know, can teams, if they draft Russians that are playing over there, are they worried about getting them back over here? Now, the Washington Capitals, obviously with Alex Ovechkin, for years now we've seen them take Russians with no fear,
yep.
And those players have come over and become stars for them. So, you know, obviously the Capitals have a bit of an advantage there. But then you saw Minnesota take Danila Yurov four picks later. And obviously we're all monitoring the Kirill Kaprizov situation. He's over in Russia. There have been some rumors about that. Clearly, Bill Guerin and his crew not worried about that. They took Yurov. And, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, those two guys probably went a little lower than if Russia had not invaded the Ukraine.
Yep.
But they still went in the first round.
Yep.
So it all worked out for them.
Now, I don't know how well you guys can see the draft board from here, but it is hard for us to see for sure from here. Who would you say are maybe the winners so far of this draft? Because obviously, well, day one, day two is very important, but who would you say the winners are?
Well, I mean, I really liked what Buffalo did. I know you did too. Matt Savoy, I thought that was a great pick. And it was nice to see a player under 5'10" go in the top 10 because we've seen teams shy away in the past. Matt Savoy, super skilled, great skater, great shot, plays with, you know, a high battle level. He deserved to be a top 10 pick.
Yep.
Sabres made it happen. Now it's exciting to see what he can become in the next coming years. And then, of course, going from there, you know, they get Noah Östlund with their second first rounder, great player out of Sweden, part of that really cool Djurgården youth core. And then they finish it off with Jiří Kulich, a player who had a fantastic world under 18s and really was a high riser near the end of the season because we knew he could play a two-way game, but then he unleashed his scoring potential. So for the Sabres, you know, a team that already has Owen Power and Rasmus Dahlin is sort of the young defense cornerstones. And then, of course, they got guys like Jack Quinn and J.J. Pateka as well, and Dylan Cousins for that matter. They added a ton of skill. So good for them.
There was one kind of running joke around the media. It's like, why did Colorado bother to show up here? Because they don't have a pick till the sixth round. But Joe Sakic won the GM of the year. So I'd say it was a good night for him.
Exactly.
His team didn't do anything. They obviously made some moves earlier in the day. Check out thehockeynews.com for more on that. And that's it for day one. And it was a very fun day. This is my first day of the draft. I got to say it was good. It's nice that it's in a city that truly cares about this event.
Oh,
not that there are cities that won, but like this city really appreciates it. Getting first overall pick, I think that was extra special for this city.
Yeah.
You know, there will be debate about whether or not they made the right choice. I know they made a very strong choice. A very good player is going to the Montreal Canadiens. We'll see how it turns out. That's it for day one. We'll see you again for day two.